so that our Lord does not shed more tears for us. We have to live in the light, come forth as light, and give Him only joy, so that our shepherd will always smile thinking of us, so that He can only say to us, thank you. I believe we are changing into such people. Today, we'll have the Holy Communion after the sermon. As Jesus had the Last Supper with His disciples before His crucifixion, He shared the bread and wine that signify His body and blood. He told them to do it in remembrance of Him. We always give thanks for our Lord's sacrifice and love, but on special occasions, we offer deeper thanks for His suffering and death through the Holy Communion. Our Lord's suffering, sacrifice, and love, we have to remember them always. But would it be better for us to have Holy Communion every week? Then, if we do it very often, we may, so only on special occasions, we offer all our hearts having this Holy Communion and in remembrance of Him. It's not better for us to have that every week because it will become a formality. We would do it without a sincere heart. So, we only do that on special occasions. Today, we'll have time to remember our Lord's suffering and what kind of glory followed as a result. I hope this message will strengthen your faith and hope all the more. We read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Our Jesus, who had no sin, blemish, or spot, went through all the suffering, agony, and even death to redeem mankind from sins. But we shouldn't think Jesus didn't feel any agony or pain because He is the Son of God who was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Even though He came to this earth with divine nature, He took the flesh of man as ours and experienced all such things as hunger, sorrow, and agony. Obviously, He suffered all the pain while carrying the cross. Knowing full well how tremendous His suffering would be, He confessed before the crucifixion as follows. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." That's how we pray before the crucifixion. What kind of agony and suffering did Jesus go through? Even before His crucifixion, He suffered a lot of persecutions. We find in Mark chapter 3, verse 22, the scribes who came from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, and He casts out demons by the ruler of the demons." Even while Jesus set people free from demon possession, healed the sick, and performed signs and wonders, those with evil hearts tried to kill Him, speaking evil words. Yet, Jesus did not quarrel or argue with them. He avoided the situation, and He only embraced them in goodness and love. Didn't Jesus have any power to destroy them? Didn't Jesus have power to curse them? Because did Jesus argue with them, fight with them? He avoided the situation where He could contend with them. He only conducted Himself in goodness and love. Right before the crucifixion, He was interrogated here and there, was flogged, and suffered all kinds of mockery. Jesus already knew that Judas Iscariot would betray Him, but Jesus didn't leave Him alone. But He had pity on Him, had mercy on Him, wanting Him to repent. But evil people finally ended up walking his way of evil. Even while Jesus' disciples left him, Jesus was tormented. He was agonized. But Jesus didn't say, I knew this was going to happen. He felt as if some of his body parts were ripped off his body. Jesus suffered all such agony and pain. He was interrogated here and there, was flogged, and suffered all kinds of mockery. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 67 and 68, "Then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him and said, 'Prophesy to us, you Christ, who is the one who hit you?'" They spat on his face. They slapped him on his face. And then they asked, "Guess who hit you?" Also, we find in Mark chapter 15, verse 15, "Wishing to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified." Even though Jesus was sinless, to satisfy the crowd, to satisfy the high priests, he let him suffer such agony and finally led him to die. A senior pastor once described what kind of pain he suffered when he was scourged. And just try to think why he suffered such agony. At the time, back in the Roman Empire, they used whips made of leather straps tied or embedded with sharp bones or pieces of metal. The Roman soldiers undressed the criminal, tied his hands, and whipped his back, hip, legs, and arms. They took turns beating the criminal with the whip. Not just one soldier beat him, because it took a lot of strength. Several individuals took turns beating the criminal. As they did so, sharp metal pieces embedded on the straps scratched all over his body. It would be painful just to get beaten with regular straps, which are without bones or metal pieces on them. But this particular whip used by Roman soldiers brings excruciating pain. It doesn't just bruise your flesh. It rips your skin apart or takes a chunk of your flesh. If the straps go far, the historian named Eusebius wrote, "The veins were laid bare, and the very muscles, sinews, and bowels of the victims were open to exposure." As the criminal is scourged like this, he loses a massive amount of his blood, which causes his blood pressure to fall drastically. In turn, he becomes lightheaded and faints. On top of that, he suffers from excruciating thirst. Being in such physical condition, Jesus suffered the next step. He had to carry the cross up to the spot where he would die. A cross was about 2 meters high and weighed about 40 kilograms. It wouldn't be easy to do that even in normal physical condition, but Jesus was in condition where his entire body was covered with wounds from the whipping. How much more demanding and exhausting it must have been for him. According to some records, Jesus fell down 3 times on his way to Golgotha, because he fell down, someone named Simon carried the cross on behalf of him and carried the cross up to the spot. Arriving at Golgotha, he had to go through another excruciating step. It was to be hung on the cross until his death. The Roman soldiers nailed his hands and feet to the cross. The nails used to fix him upon the cross were thick and about 13 to 18 centimeters long. if he had been nailed through his palms would have been ripped apart, causing him to fall down from the cross. So the soldiers nailed him through the wrists, where central nerves are running. Being nailed here leads to destruction of these nerves. Those who've received a root canal treatment can imagine how painful it is, even when there's a little shock to your nerves. Then, when you received a dental treatment, they grind your teeth. They don't hit you. They don't just pick out your teeth. Even if they just touch your nerves a little, you feel a lot of pain. But then, how tremendous the pain would be if your central nerves were destroyed without anesthetic? The pain is beyond imagination. His feet were placed over top each other, and the nail pierced them. At this point, the nerves in his feet were completely damaged. The soldiers then erected the cross. Then, there came yet another pain. Being hung on the cross with his hands and feet nailed on it, his arms were stretched and came out of the shoulder sockets. The shoulders were dislocated. The body weight pulled down on his arms and shoulders and made it difficult for him to breathe. He couldn't be provided with oxygen, which elevated the carbon dioxide levels in his blood. In turn, his heart beat irregularly. Studies found out that the victims of the crucifixion fainted about 1,000 times before they finally breathed their last. The crucifixion was a punishment that inflicts the highest level of torment a human being could ever feel. Due to its brutality, it was finally abolished by the Constantine the Great. But our Lord Jesus suffered such a brutal punishment, crucifixion. Why did Jesus, who had no sin or transgression, suffer such agony and death? On account of our sins, he suffered, was flogged, and died on the cross. Namely, it was to become our Savior. As we have learned from the message of the cross, Jesus' death satisfied the justice for us to be saved. And the way of salvation in which sinners are forgiven by believing in Jesus Christ was opened. In order to accomplish this, the Almighty God had Jesus die on the cross and suffer such agony. Father God couldn't even see his own son suffering, so he went to a separate place, weeping. Father God was heartbroken, and he was agonized. But why did Father God let this happen? It was to save the whole mankind. It was part of his providence. He had to go through that process. That's why he had to let it happen. It's not that Father God lacked power. It's not that Jesus Christ had sinned. But it was to accomplish a marvelous providence. That's why he had to die, and Father God had to let it happen. And what kind of glory came as a result of his suffering? Let's look at the blessing on the individual level. We find in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. by his suffering and death, he won the title of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God didn't exalt him to be the Savior just because he is his son. He had to undergo all such agony and death. Only then could he become the Savior, and only then could his name be glorious. Without such agony and suffering, such glory wouldn't have been possible. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, you know, he pleaded with God with bitter tears, and he offered supplications. Did Jesus say to Father God, all those who mock me, all those who torment me, Father God, please deal with them? Do you think Jesus prayed this way? No. We know that Jesus wept bitterly. He pleaded with God to intercede for them. With such goodness and love, he could become the Savior, and which receive that glory. It goes on to say, so although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Even though God calls him the Savior and proclaims it to the enemy devil, this alone doesn't give him all the authority. To become the Savior, our Lord fully satisfied the justice on his part. That's why we've been saved by his name and receive answers by asking in his name. His justice is so accurate. Father God doesn't just give anyone blessings and answers. God is just, God is righteous. So he follows all the principles and the rules. When we sow something in goodness, he pays us back. And if we sow in evil, we face judgment. But Jesus' suffering itself was sacrifice and love and obedience. And he even gave up his life. As a result of his suffering, he could become the Savior and have such glory. You know, suffering and agony doesn't just come. It comes only after Jesus fulfilled the measure of justice, he could have such glory. So Jesus was required to go through such agony and suffering. And as a result, he became the Savior. We are all aware of this. This is the law of the justice, and this is the law of the spiritual realm. But we have to apply this in our lives as well. The same goes for our Christian life. There are specific measures of justice for receiving answers, healing, and blessings. Accordingly, we are required to show our deeds and sow in faith. Father God is the master of all creation, and it's not that because he created everything, he set him the Savior. If he had done so, the enemy devil would have argued with him. Even though Jesus was son, his own son, he had to go through such offering, such agony and suffering, and showed perfect obedience. Also, our shepherd is demonstrating faith, love, and sacrifice required to fulfill God's providence of the end time. Without resenting God even a little, he's been sacrificing himself only with goodness and love. Father God is the Almighty One who never makes a mistake or suffers loss. We believe that the suffering we are going through will all turn into glory, and that he will bless us in a great and marvelous way. even though Father God is tormented and heartbroken, Father God is bearing all the situation, and then He will later pay us back with blessings. Father, as you know, our shepherd is doing a good job, but we have to apply this in our lives. I'd like you to ponder what kind of justice we have to fulfill in our situation. We've heard many times that to pay back the Lord's sacrifice and our shepherd's devotion and favor, we have to strive for sanctification. Then, how much have you obeyed and changed yourself? Whenever we have the Holy Communion, we are reminded that we can have eternal life by eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood. We've heard numerous times to eat the flesh of the Son of Man is to make bread of the Word of God, and to drink His blood is to live by it. But have you obeyed and applied it in your lives? When someone bothers you, do you argue or contend with them? Do you keep away from those who have different opinions? You used to lead a diligent life of faith, but are you pursuing your own benefits as the church is in trouble? Previously, when you got sick, you used to reflect on yourself and repent. But these days, do you put the blame on others or your environment? In the face of trial, just enduring trials physically does not guarantee your blessing. You have to endure the trials with the kind of heart that with which Father God is pleased. Only then can you receive blessings. In the face of trials or tribulations, let's say if you complain or show complaints, then you cannot receive blessings or have glory. Let's suppose Jesus complained or fought with people. So we have to think with what kind of heart we are enduring this trial. Whether we are enduring the trials with love and faithfulness. Whether you make a resolution to be more faithful, show more love. If you have spent all the trials with this kind of heart, Father God will give you blessings along you'll receive His blessings. So I want you to look back how you've conducted yourself in such trials, how you've fulfilled your duties, what kind of love and faithfulness you've shown during these trials. Let me sum up this message. Romans chapter 8, verses 17 and 18 remind us, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." In order to enjoy glory with our Lord, we have to suffer with Him as well. So while the shepherd is suffering, with what kind of heart are you enduring such trials? So church workers suffer false charges. They are sometimes suffers judgment or condemnation from others. But because we've learned goodness and love from the shepherd, we can think during the special dinner prayer meeting, I thank all those who have diligently prayed during the special dinner prayer meeting, and I believe blessings will overflow. But sometimes you might have felt you didn't have strength to pray. And then you think, remember a senior pastor praying with us back in 1999 and 1998 when the church was in trial. So you make sure to come to church, to pray at the church. With concerns that, I think all those who've diligently prayed like this, it's not that we've suffered like our shepherd did. It's not like, but if we prayed with such a heart, if we conducted ourselves with such a heart, we shared the suffering and agony of, and Father God will pay all these things back with blessings. You are happy just by hearing the word blessing, right? Those who clap their hands are confident because you've diligently prayed, you protected the church, you've diligently prayed and fasted, and diligently carried out your duties, and you are confident that you'll be complimented. That's why you clapped your hands, right? So, yes, we did. This is to share his suffering and to receive his glory as well. There are people who worked overnight, worked all through the night, and hoping for the day we will meet our shepherd again. They didn't complain, even while working hard. Instead, they say, thinking of the shepherd's suffering, my suffering is nothing. Now we hold back our tears. When we meet our shepherd, we can cry, because of you, Father God's kingdom has been expanded, and Father God will compliment us on, Father God will be pleased with us if we have to share his suffering in order to receive glory. But you know, when our heart is heartbroken, our flesh is damaged. Our flesh is hurt as well. But most of you have been victorious in this trial. But some of you got tired of this trial. And this is not a good way to endure trials. We have to endure trials with joy and thanksgiving, as in today's scripture. Think how you've endured this situation. And from now on, so what should we do to protect our shepherd and the church? We have to do our duties. We have to fulfill our duties. We have to look back and those who have been victorious in joy and thanksgiving will have the glory. And as a result, the kind of glory that is not comparable to the suffering we have gone through will be given. Father God will bestow on our shepherd the power of recreation and will pay us back with many blessings. We have to ask God, because senior pastor has endured the trials in joy and thanksgiving. We can boldly and confidently ask Father God in such a way, and then Father God will bless us this way. Jesus, who is totally sinless, suffered many hardships and tribulations on account of us. He was also subject to mockery, afflictions, and death. He paved the way for salvation and urges us to walk down the way. But our walk with him is not always easy or comfortable. At times, we have to endure persecution, sorrow, or loneliness. It takes a great amount of efforts to discover and cast off of our evil. Moreover, in leading many souls to salvation, expanding the kingdom of God, and giving glory to God, we may face many tribulations because the enemy devil interferes with us. But knowing that this is the path to salvation, glory, and New Jerusalem, we can never stop. Even when we face tribulations, even if the enemy devil interferes with us, we have to be victorious in prayer and in joy. Our shepherd and we, Manmin, can never stop. I pray that until we see Father God's glory, all of us will be victorious in any kind of hardships or trouble, thereby receiving only compliments and rewards in the future. After this suffering is over, we will only have joy and praise and... But you have to go through a process of shedding tears or rending your heart in repentance. You may suffer such moments. Just as our Lord received glory after His suffering, after we suffer this trial in joy and thanksgiving, Father God will make you wonderful people. That's why we go through such process or time. Just as we've seen what kind of glory our Lord received and our shepherd received after suffering. And so we have to press on and become Father God's children, more pleasing to Father God.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centers, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts, and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.